Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. London Falling, A Mysterious Death in a Gilded City and a Family Search for Truth is a work of narrative nonfiction and investigative journalism by Patrick Ratton Keefe, whose previous books include Say Nothing and Empire of Pain. Centered on the 2019 death of Zach Brettler, a 19-year-old who fell from a luxury apartment balcony into the Thames, the book uses one extraordinary case to examine a wider world of deception, privilege, and corruption in contemporary London. Rather than treating the death as a standalone mystery, Keefe follows the Brettler family as they try to understand who their son had become, why he was moving through elite circles under a false identity, and what forces shaped the city around him. The result is part true crime, part social inquiry, and part psychological portrait of a young fabulist living inside a self-created illusion of wealth and status. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a true crime investigation that expands into a portrait of modern London. The book begins with a fatal fall, but its purpose is broader than solving a single death. Keefe uses the case to show how London functions as a global capital where money, status, and secrecy can be difficult to separate. The investigation moves outward from the immediate circumstances of Zach Brettler's death into the social world he inhabited, revealing how a city associated with prestige and tradition can also serve as a shelter for opaque wealth and informal power networks. This makes the book more than a conventional crime narrative. The death is the entry point for a study of the structures around it, including elite neighborhoods, private clubs, and the hidden systems that allow image and reality to diverge. That wider framing is important because it turns a mystery into a social diagnosis. The book suggests that the environment did not merely contain the story. It helped produce the conditions in which the story could happen. Secondly, Zach Brettler as a case study in self-invention, fraud, and identity performance. A central thread in the book is Zach Brettler's fabricated persona. He allegedly presented himself as the son of a wealthy Russian oligarch, which placed him inside a fantasy of inherited power and access. Keefe treats this not simply as a juvenile lie, but as a revealing act of identity construction. Zach appears to have been chasing the authority that comes from appearing wealthy, connected, and untouchable. That makes his story useful for understanding how status can become performative, especially in circles where appearance is often treated as proof. The book does not reduce him to a villain or a victim. Instead, it examines the attraction of reinvention and the risks of building a life around false claims. In that sense, the narrative is about the psychology of aspiration as much as it is about deception. The point is not only that Zach lied, but that the lie fit a social world already primed to reward spectacle, confidence, and the suggestion of hidden money. Thirdly, the Brettler parents and the emotional logic of parental inquiry. The family search for truth is one of the book's most distinctive features. After Zach's death, his parents do not simply wait for official answers. They begin building their own account of his final days. That inquiry gives the book emotional depth because it is driven by grief, disbelief, and the need to understand a son who seems to have lived partly beyond their reach. Keefe uses this perspective to show how parental love can become investigative when institutions feel inadequate. The parents are not just mourners. They are researchers trying to reconstruct a lost person from fragments, records, and contradictory testimonies. This human dimension prevents the book from becoming a detached account of criminal behavior. It also raises a larger question about what parents can know about their children, especially once those children move into secretive adult worlds. The emotional force comes from the tension between intimacy and ignorance. The parents knew their son deeply in some ways. Yet his invented life shows how much can remain hidden even inside a close family. Fourthly, dirty money, elite access, and the architecture of corruption. Another major subject is the circulation of dirty money through London's property and social scenes. Private apartments, exclusive venues, and polished social performances become part of an ecosystem that rewards opacity. Keefe links Zach's world to broader networks involving gangsters, intermediaries, and people who trade on borrowed credibility. The importance of this theme lies in how it reframes corruption as cultural as well as financial. Corruption is not only an abstract economic problem. It becomes a set of habits, aesthetics, and social arrangements that normalize secrecy. The book's reporting suggests that the city can absorb and disguise questionable wealth because elite life often depends on discretion and access rather than transparency. By tracing those patterns, Keefe turns a personal tragedy into evidence of how modern urban power can be sustained through hidden transactions and carefully managed appearances. Lastly, Keefe's narrative nonfiction method, layered reporting without true crime sensationalism. What separates this book from much true crime is Keefe's method. He is known for combining deep reporting with literary structure, and here he appears to use that approach to resist easy shock effects. Instead of presenting the death as a puzzle solved by dramatic revelation alone, He layers historical, social, and biographical material to build context around the central event. The book's value comes from that accumulation of perspective. This matters because it gives the narrative ethical seriousness. Readers are not pushed only toward suspense. They're asked to think about how stories are shaped by power and what investigative writing can reveal when it refuses simplification. The result is a work that should appeal to readers who want both a gripping account and a careful examination of how a place, a family, and a false identity can intersect in one death. In conclusion, London Falling will appeal most to readers who value investigative nonfiction, true crime with social analysis, and books that use one case to expose a larger system. It is especially well-suited to readers interested in wealth inequality, London as a global city, and the psychology of fabricated identity. The book offers more than the solution to a mystery. It provides a sustained inquiry into how money, class, and aspiration shape behavior and conceal truth. For readers of Patrick Radden Keefe, it confirms the qualities that make his work stand out, including disciplined reporting, structural control, and an ability to connect private loss with public systems. Compared with many books in the true crime category, it is less focused on sensational detail and more committed to moral and social explanation. That gives it unusual depth. It is also likely to reward readers who appreciate the emotional dimension of parental grief and the uncertainty of reconstructing a hidden life after death. Its distinction lies in how it turns a disturbing death into a rigorous account of a city and the forces that animate it. If you would like to support Patrick Radden Keefe, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.